Welcome to another exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry for SearchDataManagement.com. So today we are talking about rethinking business intelligence and better understanding the benefits of operational business intelligence. To learn more, I called William McKnight, partner in information management at Lucidity Consulting Group. William functions as strategist, lead enterprise information architect, and program manager for complex, high-volume, full lifecycle implementations worldwide, utilizing the disciplines of data warehousing, master data management, business intelligence, data quality, and operational business intelligence. Now, today we're talking about operational business intelligence, and I'd like to start with just sort of a level set. What is operational business intelligence, and what are its benefits?
Really, it's kind of a co-opted term from, obviously, the world of business intelligence, but arguably it's quite a bit different, and I'll get into the differences in a bit here, but it's really all about business processes and business events. And business events triggering the inclusion of information and empirical evidence into the decision-making process, operationally speaking. So we're dealing in the operational world here, not post-operational, as in a data warehouse. So it's really kind of a catch-all phrase to include a lot of different technologies and approaches, such as enterprise information integration, EAI techniques, a lot of SOA type approaches to gathering the information and routing it operationally speaking. There's BAM approaches and data stream processing and complex event processing. And all these sorts of things are kind of loosely being referred to as operational business intelligence.
Okay, so what are the main differences between operational BI and, I guess for lack of a better term, traditional or typical BI that people might be thinking of?
Yes, well, the main one to think about is where the business intelligence occurs. Traditional business intelligence has been in the post-operational world largely thought of as occurring upon a data warehouse or data marts or other analytical structures that are really copies of information out of the operational environment. And operational business intelligence is the inclusion of business intelligence inside of the operational environment, inside of the ERP system, the call center application, and so on and so forth, the travel registration system, the claims processing system, and so on. Under the cover, some of the differences are that in operational business intelligence, they tend to discover the data and the relationships as opposed to having it all modeled, whereas in traditional BI, we are accustomed to actually modeling the data that we want to use in business intelligence and some more of a contained environment. So in operational business intelligence, it's like a spider web with tentacles growing all the time and the boundaries always shifting in terms of what's the data that can be brought to bear upon business intelligence. And sometimes even in operational business intelligence, we analyze the information and may or may not even store it in the first place. So we analyze the information in play right inside its business process, and that may or may not lead to storing that information someplace else, whereas in traditional BI, we store the information where it belongs inside the data model, and then we do the analysis upon it. Sometimes the navigation in traditional BI is menu-driven and parameter-driven and a little bit more structured an approach, whereas in operational business intelligence, again, it's these discovered relationships that you're navigating, and so it's really data relationship-based. Now, the focus of traditional BI has been upon more or less strategic business goals. The focus of operational business intelligence is down in the details of the day-to-day, down in the details of the operation. So operational business intelligence is impacting the business on a day-to-day basis. But the best way to think about the difference is that in traditional BI, you have a user. You're going to interview that user to understand what they want to see, usually in a report, a dashboard, in KPIs, something of that nature. But whereas in operational business intelligence, we're talking mostly about the business process. So humans may or may not actually be involved in operational business intelligence once they get it up and rolling into the process. But it's very important to get operational business intelligence into the process correctly.
So what then is the continuing role of data warehousing in all this?
Yes, let's definitely not forget the data warehouse here. operational business intelligence is not taking the place of the data warehouse. There is definitely a continuing place for the data warehouse. So I just want to be very clear about that. There are so many things that are needed in the data warehouse that actually work together with the operational, with operational business intelligence. Sometimes you build summaries of information, small nuggets of actionable information from the aggregate of information that's in a data warehouse, and in a data warehouse only, and we feed that back into the operational world where it can be used as operational business intelligence. Like, what is the best prospect for my needs, or the best prospect to call next, or analysis of segments, or prediction of churn, or analysis of risk, or customer loyalty, or all these sorts of things that really require all data for just about all history, much more history than an operational business intelligence environment would have. And so we need the data warehouse for compliance, we need it for history, and we need it when we really need high performance out of our queries. And that's going to be for some time to come. We're going to get that performance mostly in the data warehouse.
What are some of the activities that are being moved into the operational environment?
Well, some of the first things to go are, number one, I would say, is master data management. And what I mean by that is a lot of us, myself included, have thought we've been mastering data for the organization for many, many years. And we have. We've just been doing it in the data warehouse. And many times, we build it up in the data warehouse, but where our customer or where our internal clients need that information is back in their operational environment. Well, there's been a historical problem linking that data from the post-operational data warehouse all the way back into the operational environment. And closing that loop has been really problematic. And furthermore, it's not just about sending the data back. It's also about having that data for analysis in real time. And so master data management is about, at the least, mastering the important subject areas of information in the operational environment. Usually we're talking about customers, products, parts, employees, all that sort of thing. So those are being mastered more and more inside the operational environment. And by mastered, I mean sometimes it's even the system of entry, but it's a collection point, usually physical, inside the operational environment from where that data is published and subscribed out to all parts of the organization, including the data warehouse itself. So I would say master data management environments is an example of activities that is being moved into the operational environment. I would also say ERPs are getting much more modernized about their use of information, and we definitely should not neglect what modern ERPs bring to the table in terms of its use of reports, scorecards, KPIs, all that sort of thing, as well as its interaction with the data warehouse. Dashboards are increasingly becoming more operational in nature, and as I mentioned before, complex event processing, data stream processing, BAM, and the use of EII technologies. These are all operational business intelligence activities that were historically thought of as the domain of the post-operational data warehouse. Now more and more, because we need that data real time, we're thinking of it more in the operational environment.
All right. And when we've been talking about this subject, you've mentioned EII. Can you talk a little bit more about what EII is and how it works and what its benefits are?
Yes, I have been talking about that. That's a prime mover for operational business intelligence, and it's sort of been the antithesis of the traditional data warehouse practitioner. But it's something that we now have to ignore it any longer because of the need for real-time information. So how it works is, first of all, it will discover the data, and so these discovery engines inside these EII tools are actually quite powerful and can go out there and spider throughout the operational environment, discovering relationship. Now, it's not as easy as turning it on and it goes out and does all this. Of course, you interact with it and make sure that the results are more or less correct and that it goes through its proper stepwise progression. throughout the environments. You also turn environments on to the EII server or blade or whatever technology that you use for EII inside the operational environment. So after discovering the data, it discovers the relationships. And it discovers this based upon inherent data models by reading the DDL and the schema and adding relationships to its metadata. So it's largely metadata-driven. That's a very important part of EII. And it also discovers relationships based upon the actual data values. So it will look at structure, and it will look at data. And it comes up with the probabilities that columns are actually correlated from, say, the supply chain database to the product database. And it comes up with these implicit relationships that are discovered. And so that forms the basis. No modeling involved there. That forms the basis for how it will navigate the environment. And it's certainly not at all bounded by one individual operational system, whereas we tend to think of the so-called federated or distributed query in the post-operational data warehouse as being a big no-no. We don't want to do that. In the operational world or in EII, that's what it's all about. And so it's definitely a mind shift change for folks that are really opposed to the federated query approach.
Okay, so Enterprise Information Integration, EII, in case we're talking so fast so you don't know what we're talking about. So, William, when should EII be considered?
The times to use EII are, number one, when you're connecting structured data to unstructured data. Okay, it works very well with that type of needed relationship, works very well with unstructured data. It also is a time to use EII when immediate data change in response to the data view is desired. In other words, you can't change a copy of the data. You have to change the real data in stream, in process. There's no time to wait to change a copy and then have that copy eventually get reconciled back into whatever, you know, database you're looking at. You want to make the change immediately in response to whatever you're viewing. It's also time to use EII when data transformation is relatively light or non-existent, and just getting the data together for the integrated query is the biggest challenge. And the reason I say that is because of the limitations of the technologies today. And so you want to be very careful that you're not asking it to do a 10-way, multi-gigabyte type of join on the fly and expecting 4-second performance. So this leads to the next time to use EII. That is when the relatively worst performance of it, because it is worse performance than physical manifestation, when that worst performance is acceptable. So in other words, we're trading off the need to physically manifest it, the need to add processes to do the transformations and build up yet another data structure for the actual ability to just run the queries in place. And I do believe that the performance of EII will get faster over time. As well, we will be adapting the ERP environments to better suit the capabilities of EII as well. You should also use EII when some operational or regulatory reporting, say, for example, where the data needed is not completely integrated in one place. So I have several clients that have chosen not to bring certain data sources into their data warehouse, and they actually connect the warehouse to these sources back in the operational environment. So they don't bother to bring them over into the data warehouse because they don't need them in the data warehouse for high-performance queries. The data is changing all the time, so they didn't want to add processes, and their batch overnight is already fairly saturated. So some of the right profile types of so-called source systems may not need to be brought into the data warehouse, and that can be left in place for the EII type of query. And finally, I'll say when to use EII when performance management at the enterprise level across a line of business BI systems using line of business metrics to calculate enterprise KPIs. In other words, there's a lot of systems involved in coming up with corporate KPIs. EII could be the way to go about and get that and pull that in real time maybe inside an operational dashboard, or maybe being fed right into operational processes. So those are the times to use EII, and over time it will change to become more and more.
Now, back at the beginning of this podcast, you mentioned complex event processing, CEP. Is that related, or how is that related? You said it was. How is that related to operational BI?
Well, it's related in that it's a subset of what people are calling operational BI. It's definitely very less reporting-oriented and like dashboard-oriented, and it's really getting down into events. So this is largely used today in real-time electronic markets, where they need to understand customer behavior in real time and be more agile to that customer base. Okay, so complex event processing applications are typically stuff like high-speed data analysis for like algorithmic trading. Again, we're back in the electronic marketplace where this is really, you know, taking off. It's used for context capture, where you have multiple event data streams and you're trying to make sense of multiple streams all at once, and you're trying to determine if, for example, these series of applications that are flowing through my environment indicate some sort of either fraud or propensity to churn or something of that nature that you want to act on immediately. Also, you're looking at event pattern detection. So again, fraud detection, network monitoring, if you sense that these events are going to overload the network that you have, bring it down. Security monitoring as well. Again, oftentimes complex event processing is looking for the anomaly. It's looking for the anomalous situation that it wants to intervene into and prevent from happening. So not everything is a notable activity, but it is based upon business events. So it's really an analysis of your business events and determining what you need to do. Like, I don't know, for example, the sales organization at one of my clients, they get ready to go out on a customer call. They have to be very reactive once they get inside large organizations that they're calling upon, and they don't always have all the information at their fingertips. Well, the latest and greatest information, not only from internal systems, but also from the web through web service APIs and fuzzy search capabilities inside of these complex event processing systems, is gathering information in real time and can feed that information to that sales representative. So when they make their call, they have all the empirical information they could possibly use at their fingertips for that call. And that's another example of operational business intelligence.
Do you have any other examples of operational BI, just to close this out and put all of this sort of into context?
Yeah, how about, okay, so we all use the online sites to book our air and so forth, and some sites do a better job than others at actually cross-marketing to us while we're there based upon our history and where we're navigating at that moment. So where we're navigating at that moment is not something that's going to be stored in a data warehouse and, you know, being summarized nicely and fed back into the operational environment. That must be used in conjunction with your profile. And the profile is built upon your history of purchases and history of maneuvering throughout their site. And that's inside the data warehouse. So in one particular situation, this company has bundled up vacation offers, and they've been better able to calibrate those offers, and they've experienced a 3 to 5 times improvement in the customer take-on rates for these offers as a result of using operational business intelligence and combining the immediate real-time data with the longer-term historical data store and coming up with a very good offer for that person.
Well, that sounds very compelling, especially if it's going to get me a great deal on a vacation.
Exactly.
So thank you so much again for speaking with us today about operational business intelligence. Thank you, William McKnight, partner in information management at Lucidity Consulting Group.
Thank you.
To learn more about William McKnight or Lucidity Consulting Group, visit luciditycg.com. That's luciditycg.com. You can find that URL and more information on the download page for this podcast on searchdatamanagement.com.
For more insight on business intelligence and a host of other related topics, please continue to turn to searchdatamanagement.com. We have many newsletters, articles, podcasts, case studies, advice, and resources. And if you have your own story, thought, or idea to share with us, please feel free to email us anytime using the email link on the page where you downloaded this podcast. Remember, you have been listening to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast interview about the benefits of operational business intelligence. My name is Hannah Smaltry, here for SearchDataManagement.com. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.